بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers, let me begin by asking you a question or several questions. What is the word in whichever language, Urdu or Arabic or Farsi or Telugu or any language, for dragonfly?
Tidda.
Then what is the word for tidda, the dragonfly tidda? What is the word for grasshopper? What, I won't even ask you what is the word for mitochondria, because I know there is no word. I can ask you maybe 100 such things and you don't have the words. It's not your fault, you didn't invent the language. But this is a very major, if not the biggest indicator of where knowledge lies. This changes over time. If I was having this conversation in say the 12th century, about 700 years ago, and if I asked you the same question and say, what is the word in English for such and such a thing, you would not have a word. That word would have been in Arabic. 60% of the names of stars are Arabic. 60%. That's not an accident. It's not because other people discovered the stars and they said, no, we want to name this in Arabic. They didn't do that. The names are in Arabic because the Arabs discovered those stars. But that was how many years ago? 700 years ago. Today, you have 70 words for camel. You don't even have one word for dragonfly. You don't have one word for nanotechnology. You don't even have a word for computer, forget about anything else. And it's not only Arabic, this is the same issue with Arabic, with English, with Telugu, with Hindi, with Sanskrit, with, because the world's research, all the research of the world is done in English. All the publication is done in English. That is why the Danes and the Germans and the French and the Swedish and the Norwegians and the Chinese are learning what language? English, not Arabic, not Urdu, not Turkish. They are not learning English because they love the English. They are learning English because that is where knowledge is. If you don't know English, and I am not even talking about knowing English, you know, the garden variety. I am talking about knowing proper English and knowing it enough to understand scientific terminology. If you don't know that, you are illiterate. As simple as that. You are illiterate. Say what you want. Makes no difference. So I began with dragonfly because I want to talk to you about dragonflies. This is one of the most amazing creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A dragonfly is one of the most successful predators, aerial predators. If you and I were mosquitoes, then we would be in serious trouble if there were dragonflies around. Because dragonflies are the biggest enemies of mosquitoes and gnats and small insects and all kinds of things which fly. Dragonflies are, they have a fantastic, let's begin from the beginning. They have eyes, their head is almost complete eyes. They have 360 degree vision. There's just one blind spot directly behind the head. Other than that, the dragonfly can see in all directions at once. Back, forward, front, back, sideways, everything. The color receptors in the eye, in the human eye, there are 3 proteins which are color receptors. In a dragonfly, there are 30. A dragonfly can fly through a swarm of insects and fix and focus on one of them and catch them. That is the level of specificity with regard to its eyesight. The dragonfly has four wings, and each wing can move independently of the others. In birds, they have two wings. A bird cannot fly, cannot flap the right wing upwards and the left wing downwards. It can't do that. They have to move in synchronicity, not a dragonfly. A dragonfly can use and does use, flaps its four wings, each wing independently. Now, what's the benefit of that? The benefit of that is that the dragonfly can fly in any direction. It can fly backwards, it can fly up, down, sideways, in any direction. And that makes it an absolutely phenomenal mid-air, you know, like a fighter pilot. I mean, it's like they do like dogfights. It flies at 80 miles an hour, 18 miles an hour, which is phenomenally fast in that sense. And it can do that flying sideways also. So, it's like a fighter jet which can catch or snag anything in air. Mercifully, they can't bite us, so you are safe. But it has mandibles which are they are from the order called Ordonata, which means toothed ones. It has mandibles which are about the most powerful in the world, and the way it hunts, it catches the insect with its feet, and then with its mandibles it rips off its wings, and then it eats up the insect. So it's quite a nasty way of eating something, but anyway, it's because the wings, it doesn't, they're no use to it, so it rips the wings off and then eats the insect. Ajeeb, Allah's Qudrat, subhanallah. Now, dragonfly, once they hatch, they live underwater, the nymphs as they are called, they live underwater for as long as 2 years. So, a dragonfly hatches in water, it lays its eggs in water, and the nymphs hatch there. And they stay underwater for 2 years. In some species of dragonflies, they stay underwater for 6 years. And there they hunt. And what do they hunt there? Mosquito larvae, among other things. So, dragonflies are a very good thing to have around if you want to have a mosquito-free existence. And then they come out of the water. And I'll send you some videos of this. It is a sight to see, subhanAllah, how a dragonfly comes out of its of the pupa and turns into a flying insect, which is one of the most efficient flying insects that you can find in the world. And that whole thing is filmed, the macro filming of that. It's phenomenal to see that. What they are doing now with dragonflies, it's one of the most interesting pieces of research, which is that they are designing drones based on dragonfly flight. So basically, you're talking about drones which can fly, you know, in practically any direction, which have four wings, and they fly those. They use those four wings independently. So a lot of the drone flight is happening on the basis of the flight of dragonflies. Incidentally, some of the most advanced research in many areas is done based on something in nature, some insect or something like this. This is why I keep on saying. I mean, I think I'm like a broken record. I say the same thing over and over and over again. But what to do? Which is that the people who do not know Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala are doing research in the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and they're benefiting from it. I mean, Allah promised this. Allah said, "You will benefit." Now, if we don't want to do the research, obviously, you will not benefit. As simple as that. The other one I want to talk to you today about is monarch butterflies. I'm talking to you about, before that. Now, another thing about dragonflies. Dragonflies migrate, and one of the migration of dragonflies is from Mozambique to India, across the Indian Ocean, 11,000 miles.
Mozambique to?
India. Across the Indian Ocean, 11,000 miles. They come on the monsoon winds, and they go back on the monsoon winds. Can you imagine, one insect like this flies across 11,000 miles of ocean. Yeah? And it's flying. It's not just floating on the wind. It is actually flying. So when you see a dragonfly flying around, you don't know that. That one, maybe it came from Mozambique. The other one I said is monarch butterflies, which are also amazingly impressive. Their migration is from Canada to Mexico, which is about 5,000 miles, which is impressive enough. I mean, if you didn't know what dragonflies, this was impressive. But now that you know dragonflies, maybe you are not so impressed. But that is the migration. But the and I'll send you a link where they have recorded the sound of the flight of butterflies. It's something to say. Aji khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi. And this is what technology gives us, which gives us the ability to make such recordings and to see things with such detail. Because a lot of the stuff I told you about dragonflies, you wouldn't know that unless you have very high-powered macro cameras. I mean, you can't see that with your naked eye anyway. So, thanks to the technology that, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the brains to develop, we are able to get closer and closer to the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, monarch butterflies, they fly, millions of them, and they migrate from Canada to Mexico and then they go back. The interesting thing about that is that this is also what is called a multi-generational migration, which is that the butterfly flies in one direction. The individual which is flying doesn't necessarily cover the entire distance. So that individual, midway somewhere, so 3,000 miles later or something, which is long enough, but you know, this individual lays eggs and dies. The new butterflies hatch and they complete the migration and they go to the same place. Right? Ajib, that thing was there. I mean, that thing never saw it. I mean, it didn't come from that place. It hatched as an egg in the middle of nowhere and it goes to the same place. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. Ajib, eh? And again, I always say this all the time. I say the simple question to ask is why? Why must this happen? What is wrong with creating a butterfly which stays in one garden its entire life and dies there? What? I mean, if Allah created that, would you say, no, you know, this is no good? No. Why must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create an insect which flies across the Indian Ocean? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create an insect which in a multi-generational flight, it dies midway and the baby which hatches, which never saw Canada, goes to Canada? Subhanallah al-Azim. This is the khudrat of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And this is what I make dua. Oh, like, let us see this. And let us recognize you by this, because this is what Allah said. Allah said, recognize me by my signs in creation. And that is why we need to study. That is why we need to learn. That is why we need to get on top of technology. Because the more and more Allah opens doors, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, I mean, get this thing out of your mind. This is a very big fitrah that we have created for ourselves, which is making us blind. Where is physics from? It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it from shaitan? My point is, if the rest of knowledge is from shaitan, then you should not learn it. If it is from Allah, then why are you not learning it? Where is physics from? Where is chemistry from? Where is the knowledge to design cameras from? Where is my point is, the people who today talk against science, you know, you can expose the hypocrisy of this. The nifaq of this, expose this in 1 second. The minute the man's heart flutters, where does he go? Does he go to the masjid? Does he go to the mufti? Does he go to the qari? Does he go to the muhaddis or the mufassir? Or does he go to the doctor, to the surgeon, who is a kafir, who is a mushrik, who is an atheist, who is a mulhid, who is a, you know, whatever? Does he go and check, no, excuse me, are you Muslim? Are you Sunni or Shia? Are you Halafi or Hanafi or Salafi? Does he ask this question? No. He doesn't care. He wants a good doctor. Why? Just now, 10 minutes before this, you were talking against science. Why do you go there? You know life and death is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that if your death has come, no doctor in the world can save you. You know that if you are not going to die, no doctor can, you know, you are now, you won't die, period. Khalas. So why don't you sit at home? Why don't you say, I'm having a heart attack, no problem, khalas. Write down a will to say, no hospital, no hospitalization. I do not want to be entered into an emergency thing. I don't want to go into an ICU. No ventilator. No CPR. No this, no that. Write this will. Let me see. Who has got the dumb to write this will? The moment you have a problem, you run to the scientist. But when Allah keeps you well and alhamdulillah safe, you want to bad talk science. You want to bad. What kind of nifaq? This is absolute hypocrisy. This is ignorance. This is complete stupidity. And anyone who believes that is even more stupid. All knowledge is min Allah Ta'ala. Because there al-alim is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no knowledge other than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And Allah gives that knowledge to the one who works for it. Whether the person is a Muslim or not a Muslim is not from the shurut. I finished reviewing and commenting on a book. The title of the book is Islamic Principles of Management. The book is written by a guy who teaches in an American university. He sent it to me for review and for my comments. And that guy is not a Muslim. Islamic Principles of Management. He's got that thing is full of ayat of Quran and hadith and so on. So he sent it to me saying, please review this. Have I quoted correctly and so on and so forth. Almost all of it was correct. Some things I needed to change. I commented on it. What to say? So please, all knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives it to the one who works on it. Whether the one who works on this knowledge is a Muslim or not, Allah doesn't care. If a Muslim works on it, alhamdulillah, his eyes open, his heart opens, he connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spends his whole life in ibadah while he is doing his work. If a non-Muslim uses that, Allah will also give him the benefits. In this dunya, what happens in the akhirah is minallahi ta'ala between him and his Rabb Jalla Jalalu. But in this dunya, he will benefit from it and he will rule over you and you will be beneath his feet because you chose to be ignorant, whereas he chose to study. As simple as that. No, this is not rocket science. This is not magic. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. We are the ones who separated this, who made this great fitna between what we like to call ulumuddin and the other ulum, which we call Mu'awin ulum and ulum al-dunya and all kinds of stuff. Every single thing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. This is the meaning of tawheed. We ask Allah to open our eyes to this. We ask Allah to prevent us from falling into the trap of all of these kinds of misguidance. We ask Allah to help us to learn more and study more and open our eyes to His Qudrat so that we recognize Him and we glorify Him and we live in a state of the love and khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And we die in that state, we ask Allah to take us in that state. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmal alamin.